This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, let's go to Susan K. Jones. I don't know if we'll talk about the convention at all. We just talked to Susie, and we'll just see where the conversation goes. Right now, she's on a train, and her phone has how much power left?
12% battery.
12%?
That's the story of national conventions.
Okay.
How much power do you have in your phone?
Yeah.
And I have to get off, I think, at the next one, Damien. So I'm taking the train out to the United Center early because I want to get a good seat when Governor Wall speaks tonight.
Do you have a place at United Center where there's kind of a universal area where people are charging their phones? Or are you just going to have to go up to somebody and put in that Susie charm and say, can I use your phone charger?
Well, I'll let you know. There are places. I was there on Monday, you know, and there are big charging stations for everybody because it seems to be a thing. My daughter gave me a portable charger before I left Minneapolis. And
nice.
I can't figure out how to work it. I can't see. I just am lost. So
listen,
I have one.
Okay. Now, for me to criticize anyone who can't figure out something technically, I really shouldn't jump into this in any way.
Mm.
Those are normally fairly easy. Do you have it? Do you have like a satchel with you right now? Where is all your stuff at this point?
Oh, my God. I have so much stuff. I was able to finagle a swag bag from the Democratic Party of Minnesota, DFL.
They bought you off, in other words.
They did. They bought me off because I said my 93-year-old mother wants one of the bags. And so, anyway, it's basically full of food so you don't starve to death on these long days.
Oh, what kind of food?
Yeah. I just had a trail bar. They've got some Frito-Lay sour cream and onion, some fruit snacks, some popcorn, some water, a couple of waters.
Yeah.
One of those little clappers, you know. Oh, a little sandwich holder, you know, the little clips. That's cute.
The clapper.
Anyway.
Wait a second. Is the clap,
you know,
on? Clap
no,
on.
You know, like that.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Oh, I think I got to get off. It's fine. We can keep talking. I just got to get off.
Yeah.
And I dropped my chips. Gosh.
Oh. Were those Fritos chips you said? I love. Here again, we're just down to Fritos.
They're not Fritos. They're sour cream and onion.
The Frito-Lays, I believe, is what she said, yes.
Yeah, you said Frito-Lays. Okay,
yes.
I got it.
I didn't mean to.
Yeah.
No, you're good.
Sour cream and onion.
It's the name of the company. You're fine. It's the Lay's sour cream. I'd rather go sour cream and onion Lay's than the traditional Frito. The corn chip's kind of boring.
Now I have no idea where I'm going.
Story of your life. Are you gonna jump on the stage when Walls is up there to try to get a quote during his speech?
Tim.
Are you still in Illinois at this point? Is it possible you're in a nearby state right now?
No, but I almost got on the brown line instead of the green line. That would have screwed me up. So now, with my 12%, actually, they have nice people like in Minneapolis, the Downtown Improvement District people that'll help you find where you're going.
Sure.
So I'm going to ask them how far the United Center is from me right now. I have no idea.
What if they tell you, like, 45 minutes? Are you?
Well, no. I think it's in the vicinity. I'm going to ask. How far is the United Center from here? How many blocks? Three or four blocks.
Three. You can do that.
Nothing.
I can do that. Yeah. I see it. It's right in front of me.
It's a big arena.
It's a big arena.
Do you
You are too good, Susie. You are too good. I mean, if this doesn't win a Marconi, I don't know what. There's this giant building right in front of you.
The Jordan statue, and she's standing right by it.
The Jordan statue's right there.
I'm in front of
you. Know, what do you think? That's a house? I mean, I know there's a lot of houses that are very nice.
That guy must have a nice job.
Whoa, what did he do? Oh, man, oh, man. You think he'd have a pool, you know?
It says United Center right on the side there.
Oh, Lord.
Anyway, so I'm here for the night. I'm going to get in with the Minnesota people tonight. And I talked to Melvin Carter, St. Paul mayor, earlier this morning. He said they're going to be off the hook. He said they're going to be dancing and singing and hooping and hollering. And big night for Minnesota, that's for sure.
Do you still see the United Center?
I haven't moved. I'm staring
okay.
at it.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Uh-oh.
I'm not sure if I walk downstairs. I assume I can just walk over there.
Yeah.
You know when you're on the train, I'm way up high in Chicago.
Yeah.
So I got to go down and walk over there.
What kind of walking shoes do you have?
I bought some really nice shoes before I left. I wanted to get those Hokas, you know, those fancy
Hokas are very good. Very good. How about the Ons? The Ons are very good also.
No, you know what I ended up getting at Nordstrom's?
Yep.
A nice pair of New Balance.
Oh,
they're
sure.
cute. There's some purple on the bottom. They're very comfortable. And as you know, you walk about, well, the first day I walked about 25,000 steps.
Awesome.
Yes. And now the second day, not as much, but I'm sure today I will also get a lot of steps in. Because I walked around downtown today. I hooked up with a little sightseeing tour. Jordana thought I was lazy and skipping out on my duties.
You did a little tourism.
I did.
Yeah.
It was cute.
Did you go on
it was a nice town.
Did you go on the river?
I walked by the river. I didn't take a boat ride this time. Maybe tomorrow.
Boat ride could be very nice, right?
Architecture tour. Classic.
I could expense that for research, right?
Of course. you could go out to see Wrigley. Wrigley's fun.
Oh, no, that would be fun. I wonder if they're playing.
They will look it up. Well, even if they're not playing, they often have tours. Plus, the area around Wrigleyville is bustling. There's all sorts of restaurants and bars. I know you're going to go there and drink, but it's a fun area. What are you seeing, Dave, for the Cubs schedule?
They got a day game tomorrow.
Day game tomorrow.
1:20 p.m. Tigers in town before they hit the road. So that's your last chance.
I could just buy a single game ticket.
Yeah.
Sit anywhere just to experience the field. I might do that.
You know who'd go with you? Hauser Man would go with you.
I bet he would. He was funny. He posted on Facebook or Twitter or somewhere. He was doing a live shot and some schmo walked right in front of his shop.
Pushed him away. It was very good. It was excellent. What we're going to see a very enthusiastic Tim Walz tonight. He certainly showed that. I think for most of us here, we're pretty familiar with what he's going to say. What do you think his major emphasis is going to be as someone who's covered Tim Walz for a long time?
What is his major emphasis going to be? My first thing that pops into my head, if I were to guess, would be children. Something with kids and school and the meals, the free meals.
Yep.
I think that was something that was extremely important to him to get that done. I also think unity that he talks a lot and has throughout his governorship about one Minnesota. And to bring that up and say one United States of America, that there are more similarities than differences, despite what everybody says. You think?
I think he'll say that. Unfortunately, he has not lived up to that in his second term. It has been.
A lot of people in rural Minnesota think that he ignored them. A lot of Republicans believe he ignored them.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, you talk is cheap, but again, that's the message.
You're right.
Oh my God! Sorry, there goes another train. Wow.
Oh, I like it. We got a little feel. You know, a texter has nailed it. Joel Maturi would go to the Cubs game with you.
Oh, I love. love Joel.
Well, that's I'm what establish. I mean, that is.
I'm going to text Joel. Maybe he's in Chicago. Maybe there is.
He
a
just they just announced he's going into the U of M Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's nice. That's a good story.
What if he brings you instead of Lois?
Well, maybe he can get an extra ticket. I'll go. I'll sit on one side of him, and Lois can sit on the other.
Wow.
She'd probably give me her ticket. Let me go with
her. Well, I think she might want to go when her husband goes into the Hall of Fame. I
mean, she might be tired of all of that.
Yeah, maybe she's sick of it. You know, you got the pavilion. Do you really need the Hall of Fame? You know?
Come on.
All right, I want you to text us when you arrive at United Center, okay? Just so I know you're okay.
If your phone still works.
You really do care about me, don't you?
I do. I love you. I love you.
I love you too, Chad, and I love Dave. And so now I'm going to take the elevator to the street, and I'm going to walk over, and then I'm going to text you when I'm there.
Perfect. And then find a charger. And then just ask.
That's first.
Ask somebody inside the building how the charger works. I don't know if I want you going around. I mean, the United Center. but ask somebody in the building, and they'll probably got to plug it in or something like that. You know, that's something.
You know, they sent me for a reason.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was high intelligence and punditry. I think I'm just getting it done.
I think you've been a star. Okay. How is the apartment we're not paying for where you're staying?
Oh, you know what? Tomorrow, that's what we're going to do. I'll figure out. Well, if I'm at the baseball game, it is the bomb.
Oh, fantastic.
This guy is a chef and he works for ConAgra. And how do I get downstairs? How do I get downstairs? Shoot, you guys. All right.
So
I'm in the elevator trying to get across the street to get to the United Center. I might have to text you. What if my phone dies?
Well, it's going to be tough to text me then.
I have no idea where I'm going. Okay.
Do this. Text us in 5 minutes, okay? I want to know that you're okay in 5 minutes, you know?
Okay.
All right. See you later. My God. I'm sorry. She's just the best. If we don't submit that for Marconi for political in-depth coverage, then you know what Marconi is? Get the joke. Dead to me. Hit the butt.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
One last Susan K. note. Dave went to Google Earth, track down where the train tracks are, and United Center. Two blocks?
Looks like two blocks and separating the train tracks, elevated tracks we're talking to.
Right.
From the United Center surface parking lots.
It would be like you're next to the X and there's nothing in the way for two blocks and you're wondering where the X is. And I love her.
And I mean, she's the best. Not to mention she was there, what, the last 2 days?
Correct.
Oh, she's texted.
Okay.
She's arrived.
She's arrived
at the United Center,
absolutely,
everybody.
Absolutely, she's safe. We've had two program directors. No, actually three. Three program directors wouldn't have told me, but would have told others that segment with Susie just wasn't any good. Whereas our guy now, Lane, who gets it, and it's a great part of our life that Brad Lane gets it. I'm sure he loved it, right?
Make it memorable.
Make it stand out, right? We have plenty of newsmakers on the show. We have plenty of interviews on the show. We have plenty of opinions on the show. We have plenty of nonsense. Susie is a character. She just is. And there are characters on radio stations all over. We don't own any of it. They're funny, talented people on other stations. And when you go to the fair, go see them. Come see us. That would be very nice.
Come see Susie next Thursday.
Yeah, next Thursday. We'd really like Susie. But the segment we really want Susie to do
but we can't. Is Susie, a few weeks ago, Dave and I just rattled off a name of an employee, either a present or former employee. And Susie gave her unvarnished opinion of these individuals, and we were crying. We were laughing so hard.
It was probably a dozen people.
More. Oh, I think it was more, because it was during two breaks. Then she came back like an hour later and goes, I love that. Let's do more of it.
Yes. We did more. She was into it more than we were.
Oh, she was way into it. So maybe what we'll do is we'll have people stand up. And Susie will give her assessment of them.
Yeah, could be.
Could just reach a quick conclusion.
Rip their fashion.
Yeah.
How did you get with that person? You're ugly.
We've made a programming schedule change for tomorrow.
Big change.
Big change. Tim Cheetah has been moved in the lineup. Hasn't been replaced.
Gracious enough to
switch days. Timmy's working out at Giggles. So Timmy and his great stories now will be Tuesday. Dean Phillips. He's with us 1:05 tomorrow. So our lineup tomorrow.
1:35. Oh, yeah, you're right.
1:05.
You're right.
So our lineup tomorrow, Don Shelby kicks it off. 12:35, open segment. We'll talk, who knows. We can talk things like we normally do. 1:05, two segments with Dean Phillips. Then former producer extraordinaire Lindsay Gensel is going to join us. We'll get an update on Lindsay's health battle. And Lindsay will be fun. Be great to see her again. Then food with Dara and Lou Nanny. And I think this is going to work great. We wanted to have Louie on a lot, okay? And I've known Louie my whole life. And among the two or three best things I ever did at The Fan was asking Louie to be a regular. At the fan. And when Dan and I split, we had to split up good and great guests. And Dan and Louie are fantastic together. We still have Louie on plenty of times here. Mm-hmm. They're great together. So the only day it worked out for Louie is tomorrow in the 2 o'clock hour. So instead of saying no to Louie, let's do food and stories with Louie and the expertise of Dara. I think it's going to be great. And we have all sorts of other guests planned. What percentage of Americans are searching for new jobs right now? What is your guess? 0 to 100%. I want to talk about this, and I want to get your reaction. What's your guess, first of all, the percentage of Americans searching for a new job right now? 0 to 100%. Text me, and let's jump into that topic next. 651-461-9226. Plenty of guesses on the number of Americans searching for a new job right now. It's the highest rate in a decade, and one person missed it by 1%. 28% plus, 28.4%, according to the Fed poll of consumers, were looking for a job. That's the highest reading since March 2014 and up from 19.4% a year ago. So some of it can be good and bad, right? Some of it can be good because people feel like they have a chance now, Dave. That before, not any jobs that I want, I don't want to look. I'm afraid. And then obviously it can be negative because so many people are unhappy where they're at right now. So it's twofold, right?
It is. But I mean, the good thing is we know what employment or unemployment numbers are, very low. So you're talking about people that are perhaps unhappy in their job or just want to see what's out there. Are looking for more money, more time off, whatever it is, some over the better opportunity. So, I mean, you're talking about a lot of people, I have to assume, that have a little bit of leverage that can say, I have this job. What are you going to do that's better than what I already have?
We've watched that, excuse me now, for multiple years, that after so many people got laid off, than needing so many people to come back that a lot of people were really able to pick and choose, including a lot of people who just want to work from home. I know someone very close to me who is just insisting every job he wants is to work from home. And I have pushed back at that. I've said, I get it. We were required at this company to work from home. That's why when I occasionally get a text, and we don't talk COVID hardly at all anymore. Oh, you're a big basement dweller. It's a joke that I was a basement dweller. I wanted to come in here all the time. I will occasionally still do the show at home. Very rarely. It's almost always Quentin related. It's a little bit of my health, too, to be honest, because I come in here and I cough. I don't feel nearly as well when I leave this building as I do when I do the show at home. And I mean that in all sincerity. I don't think this is a healthy building. I really don't. I'm not even kidding. But I still feel like I should be here. I want to be here. I like seeing people. I'm a social creature. So I think people should be open-minded on that, right? But they've got the lever. Here's a little more data. Expectations of losing one's job has also hit a record. The new survey found the average expected likelihood of becoming unemployed rose 4.4%, up from 3.9% a year ago, the highest level ever recorded for the survey, which goes back only 10 years. Okay. And again, some of that is dread. Some of that is fear. Some of that is also, guess what? More people are jumping back into the workforce. Because the unemployment numbers, we can play these games so much. You know, unemployment at its lowest was 3.5%. It's now up to 4.3%. And we could line up, let's say we didn't have Belsky or Sully on, we could probably line up 10 economists as guests. Five might say, oh, it's great that it's jumped up, which means more people are trying to work, so more people have jumped in. And five others would say, oh, this is troubling. This is troubling that the unemployment rate has jumped up. Mm-hmm. And politicians, depending upon, you know, what office you're pursuing or who's the president, whether you like them or not, are going to use it to their benefit, pending the data. You know, another good one is how many people are actually in the workforce in total. But if I tell you that close to 30% of Americans are searching for new jobs, what is your gut instinct when you hear that?
It's a big number.
It's a huge number.
You mean you're looking at more than one out of every four
yep.
employees that is searching, like I said, for a new opportunity, that is actively trying to leave where they're at, or could be just unemployed and trying to get back in. But still, that's, I would have guessed, somewhere between 10 and 15%.
And my gut tells me if it's 28.4% in this survey that it's actually higher, that some people are reluctant, even though they're told it's anonymous, to tell the real number.
Yeah. And I mean, what does actively looking for another job, you know, mean? Yeah. Does it mean actually filling out applications, or does it mean you're just dabbling on LinkedIn every once in a while and seeing what's out there and keeping the feelers going, keeping your resume updated just in case?
Because this story is pointing out the negative outlook about the economy, okay? And I get when you first think 28%, like my first thought is, that's a tough spot for a lot of people to be in. That really is. You know, you're unemployed or you're at a job where you're not happy or you're afraid you're about to get bounced. But it can be both ways. That's why, you know, with the economy, you know, when Trump says it was the greatest economy in American history, no. There isn't a single piece of data which backs that up.
I'll prove them wrong.
But I will say this. Were there plenty of indications or indicators, excuse me, which showed a successful economy? Sure, there were. No doubt. It also helps when you're a president what you inherit. The guy tonight who's speaking, William Jefferson Clinton. So many people think about him and the economy and not as much at the start, but when they started going with triangulation, Dick Morris came in with his little toes and they got more things done, where mid-90s, the economy was flourishing. And it was a few things. Absolutely, some of the policies from Clinton played a part. You can't be president and it's meaningless. It also helped that George H.W. Bush made the difficult decision to raise taxes when the country needed it. And you know what else Clinton benefited from in a massive way? The boom of Silicon Valley. When the 90s, when so many of those companies were surging. Yeah. And if you have an economy which is friendly, does it foster more businesses? Sure. When W took over, he took over a great economy. There's no doubt. Well, then guess what happened? 9/11 happened. And we weren't paying for the wars. He was a no-tax guy, and he wasn't going to change. And obviously, the right decision was made in Afghanistan, and how we handled Iraq was a catastrophe. And the economy didn't benefit from that. And think about what happened at the end of W's term with an economic collapse. And, I mean, Obama and McCain had to leave their campaigns. If McCain had any chance, and he really didn't, because Obama was just this phenomenon, like Trump was a phenomenon, like Reagan was. A little bit of Clinton, maybe not to those three levels. When the economy tanked, how was McCain? Because he was already epoxied to W, who was much more popular than he was when W left office. Man. Now he's turned out to be, we've been reminded, as a human being, good human. Like I saw a picture the other day. And again, this was W as president. He brought in just before Obama's going to take over. It's Bush, still president. It's Obama. It's Jimmy Carter. It's his father and Bill Clinton. What a great thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Would Don ever participate in that?
No. I think Michelle Obama feels a little differently about W than we learned she does about Don last night.
Yeah. Just a little bit, but
she and W got along wonderfully.
Yeah, when they see each other, and I don't think they're pen pals or anything, but they get along.
Could be.
But that's a great part of America, that as divisive as W was probably from the election itself, that he put, and again, by the way, WMDs, Bill Clinton believed WMDs, Hillary Clinton believed WMDs. Nobody should have believed that Iraq was tied to 9/11. That was a complete lie. Okay. But when everybody's saying they lied about WMDs, Tony Blair believed in WMDs. There are plenty of Democrats who also thought that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. Now, how they handled the Iraq war, awful. How he reacted to Katrina, awful. But to bring the presidents together, it's a little bit of the Obama soundbite from last hour. You think those guys agreed on issues? No. I mean, Obama ran more against George W. Bush than he did against John McCain. And Bush brought everybody in and said, how can we help this guy? What a great concept. We should have more of that. It's 48 past one. Twins, the bullpen. We talked about the bullpen with Chipper the other day. It's been worse the last couple days. It would really help if they had another starter. So they could put.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Plenty of guesses on the number of Americans searching for a new job right now. It's the highest rate in a decade, and one person missed it by 1%. 28% plus, 28.4%, according to the Fed poll of consumers, were looking for a job. That's the highest reading since March 2014 and up from 19.4% a year ago. So some of it can be good and bad, right? Some of it can be good because people feel like they have a chance now, Dave. That before, not any jobs that I want. I don't want to look. I'm afraid. And then obviously it can be negative because so many people are unhappy where they're at right now. So it's twofold, right?
It is. But I mean, the good thing is we know what employment or unemployment numbers are, very low. So you're talking about people that are perhaps unhappy in their job or just want to see what's out there, are looking for more money, more time off, whatever it is, some of the better opportunities. So I mean, you're talking about a lot of people, I have to assume, that have a little bit of leverage that can say, I have this job. What are you going to do that's better than what I already have?
We've watched that, excuse me now, for multiple years, that after so many people got laid off, then needing so many people to come back, that a lot of people were really able to pick and choose, including a lot of people who just want to work from home. I know someone very close to me who is just insisting every job he wants is to work from home. And I have pushed back at that. I've said, I get it. We were required at this company to work from home. That's why when I occasionally get a text, and we don't talk COVID hardly at all anymore, oh, you're a big basement dweller. It's a joke that I was a basement dweller. I wanted to come in here all the time. I will occasionally still do the show at home, very rarely. It's almost always Quentin related. It's a little bit of my health, too, to be honest, because I come in here and I cough. I don't feel nearly as well when I leave this building as I do when I do the show at home. And I mean that in all sincerity. I don't think this is a healthy building. I really don't. I'm not even kidding. But I still feel like I should be here. I want to be here. I like seeing people. I'm a social creature. So I think people should be open-minded on that, right? But they've got the lever. Here's a little more data. Expectations of losing one's job has also hit a record. The new survey found the average expected likelihood of becoming unemployed rose 4.4%, up from 3.9% a year ago, the highest level ever recorded for the survey, which goes back only 10 years. Okay. And again, some of that is dread. Some of that is fear. Some of that is also, guess what? More people are jumping back into the workforce. Because the unemployment numbers, we can play these games so much. You know, unemployment at its lowest was 3.5%. It's now up to 4.3%. And we could line up, let's say we didn't have Belsky or Sully on, we could probably line up 10 economists as guests. Five might say, oh, it's great that it's jumped up, which means more people are trying to work, so more people have jumped in. And five others would say, oh, this is troubling. This is troubling that the unemployment rate has jumped up. Mm-hmm. And politicians, depending upon, you know, what office you're pursuing or who's the president, whether you like them or not, are going to use it to their benefit, pending the data. You know, another good one is how many people are actually in the workforce in total. But if I tell you that close to 30% of Americans are searching for new jobs, what is your gut instinct when you hear that?
It's a big number.
It's a huge number.
You mean you're looking at more than one out of every four
yep.
employees that is searching, like I said, for a new opportunity, that is actively trying to leave where they're at, or could be just unemployed and trying to get back in. But still, that's, I would have guessed, somewhere between 10 and 15%.
And my gut tells me if it's 28.4%, in this survey, that it's actually higher. That some people are reluctant, even though they're told it's anonymous, to tell the real number.
Yeah. And I mean, what does actively looking for another job, you know, mean? Yeah. Does it mean actually filling out applications, or does it mean you're just dabbling on LinkedIn every once in a while and seeing what's out there and keeping the feelers going, keeping your resume updated just in case?
Because this story is pointing out the negative outlook about the economy, okay? And I get when you first think 28%, like my first thought is, that's a tough spot for a lot of people to be in. That really is. You know, you're unemployed or you're at a job where you're not happy or you're afraid you're about to get bounced. But it can be both ways. That's why, you know, with the economy, you know, when Trump says it was the greatest economy in American history, no, there isn't a single piece of data which backs that up.
I'll prove him wrong.
But I will say this, were there plenty of indicators, which showed a successful economy? Sure, there were, no doubt. It also helps when you're a president, what you inherit. The guy tonight who's speaking, William Jefferson Clinton. So many people think about him and the economy and not as much at the start, but when they started going with triangulation, Dick Morris came in with his little toes and they got more things done where mid-90s, the economy was flourishing. And it was a few things. Absolutely, some of the policies from Clinton played a part. You can't be president, and it's meaningless. It also helped that George H.W. Bush made the difficult decision to raise taxes when the country needed it. And you know what else Clinton benefited from in a massive way? The boom of Silicon Valley. When the 90s, when so many of those companies were surging. Yeah. And if you have an economy which is friendly, does it foster more businesses? Sure. When W took over, he took over a great economy. There's no doubt. Well, then guess what happened? 9/11 happened. And we weren't paying for the wars. He was a no-tax guy, and he wasn't going to change. And obviously, the right decision was made in Afghanistan, and how we handled Iraq was a catastrophe. And the economy didn't benefit from that. And think about what happened at the end of W's term with an economic collapse. And I mean, Obama and McCain had to leave their campaigns. If McCain had any chance, and he really didn't, because Obama was just this phenomenon, like Trump was a phenomenon, like Reagan was. A little bit of Clinton, maybe not to those three levels. When the economy tanked, how was McCain? Because he was already epoxied to W, who was much more popular than he was when W left office. Man. Now, he's turned out to be, we've been reminded, as a human being,
good human. Like, there's a, I saw a picture the other day, and again, this was W as president. He brought in just before Obama's going to take over. It's Bush, still president. It's Obama. It's Jimmy Carter. It's his father and Bill Clinton. What a great thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Don, would Don ever participate in that?
No. I think Michelle Obama feels a little differently about W than we learned she does about Don last night.
Yeah, just a little bit. But
she and W got along wonderfully.
Yeah, when they see each other, and I don't think they're pen pals or anything, but they get along.
Could be.
But that's a great part of America, that as divisive as W was probably from the election itself, that he put, and again, by the way, WMDs, Bill Clinton believed WMDs. Hillary Clinton believed WMDs. Nobody should have believed that Iraq was tied to 9/11. That was a complete lie. Okay. But when everybody's saying they lied about WMDs, Tony Blair believed in WMDs. There are plenty of Democrats who also thought that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction. Now, how they handled the Iraq war, awful. How he reacted to Katrina, awful. But to bring the presidents together, it's a little bit of the Obama soundbite from last hour. You think those guys agreed on issues? No. I mean, Obama ran more against George W. Bush than he did against John McCain. And Bush brought everybody in and said, how can we help this guy? What a great concept. We should have more of that. It's 48 past one. Twins, the bullpen. We talked about the bullpen with Chipper the other day. It's been worse the last couple days. It would really help if they had another starter so they could put Varlin in the bullpen. And if Paddock comes back, put both those guys in the bullpen. But right now, I might be a better left-hander than they have, and I'm not a left-hander. And the Padres are playing great, but when you lose those bullpen games the way they've lost lately, I don't know. It seems like they linger a little bit more and they leave something thinking about when you're going to play the better teams. If you make the playoffs, there's going to be a lot of five-inning starts.
Yeah. And when you lose a late lead, yeah, bullpen or whatever the reason, it's always you feel like that one slip away. We should have won that game.
And you can't put Jax and Duran in the game in the fifth and sixth inning. And I get you're not going to have as many middlemen in the bullpen. But Stewart being out, they miss him. They need a couple other guys in the bullpen. It seems like Varlin and Paddock would be those guys. Well, you don't know if Paddock's even going to come back. And right now, Varlin's been okay in the rotation. They need him at this point. So the Twins and Padres, once again, now pregame at 8 o'clock in lovely San Diego. Who played this one? Tennessee?
No, Tennessee played Dolly 9-5. Oh, I have to look it up. I can't remember.
It's a great song, by the way.
Of course it is.
It's a flat out.
Yes, give
great
Taylor her credit. It's
song.
As catchy as any pop tune has ever been.
I agree. Play it a little more. Let's go. Come on, Potter up.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Dancing on my own.
Team Taylor. By the way, the two of us very astutely having no idea what time the Twins played. And now we're disgusted by the time. Twins pregame starts at 5, first pitch 5:40. I almost want to call Major Garrett right now and say, what is your town doing with a 3:40 first pitch?
It's bizarre. Let's go, San Diego. Play at 12:10 like grownups here.
Yeah.
Give us an hour, hour and a half off.
I'll tell you what. The Chad Hartman of the San Diego Padres flagship station, he's not happy about it. He wants those 12:10 starts, or she does. I don't know. I mean, it's tough to get to La Jolla and work in 18 holes if you know you still got to do the show 12-3. I mean, come on. What are they thinking? The average person knows if their day has been ruined by what time, Dave Harrigan? By what time? Did you see this?
No, I didn't.
Average person knows if their day has been ruined by what time?
9 a.m.
8:36 a.m. I'm assuming that you wrote this story.
Because that's normally my second or third text to you of the day about what we should do.
So running around, getting the kids ready, taking the dogs out, doing all of it. Oh, great. Chad needs 8 guests, and he needs them now.
The poll of 2,000 Americans found the average person endures 4 bad days per month, 48 days or a month and a half of bad days annually. Okay, do you think you know you're going to have a bad day by 8:36?
No.
I'm no. No. Do you think that you have 48 bad days a year?
No. 4 a month seems very high. I think
it's so subjective what is your bad versus my bad.
By the way, shake it off, Rhode Island, because that makes sense.
Well, she's got a house there, I think.
She's got a lot of houses.
Yeah,
like
she does.
I think 1 to 2 bad days maybe a month. Maybe I'm just a very charmed individual.
Apparently,
maybe I put up with a lot of garbage. I don't know.
You're privileged.
Yes. A lot of money will do that.
You're white man privileged.
I've got a giant bank account.
Yeah.
Several of them.
Listen, if you're a producer on this show, you're making big bucks. We know that.
Hello?
Or else you promised. Close circuit of Gons and Brad. Remember when we promised Dave a raise when he switched shifts? And he gave up another job that he's getting paid for, Jeff and Brad. Do you remember that?
It was a $3 million a month job, too, I gave up.
That's, okay. Then you better go back to that job really quick. I'm looking forward to our guests. A different approach to media, an approach I can't wait to hear about. That's early next hour in CCO. Who played this one? Tennessee?
No, Tennessee played Dolly, 9 to 5. Oh, I have to look it up. I can't remember.
It's a great song, by the way.
Of course it is.
It's a flat out.
Yes, give Taylor her credit.
It's song.
As catchy as any pop tune has ever been.
I agree. Play it a little more. Let's go. Come on, Potter up.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Dancing on my own.
Team Taylor. By the way, the two of us very astutely having no idea what time the Twins played. And now we're disgusted by the time. Twins pregame starts at 5, first pitch 5:40. I almost want to call Major Garrett right now and say, what is your town doing with a 3:40 first pitch?
It's bizarre. Let's go, San Diego.
I mean,
at 12:10 like grownups here.
Yeah.
Give us an hour, hour and a half off.
I'll tell you what. The Chad Hartman of the San Diego Padres flagship station, he's not happy about it. He wants those 12:10 starts, or she does. I don't know. I mean, it's tough to get to La Jolla and work in 18 holes if you know you still got to do the show 12 to 3. I mean, come on. What are they thinking? The average person knows if their day has been ruined by what time, Dave Harrigan? By what time? Did you see this?
No, I didn't.
Average person knows if their day has been ruined by what time?
9 a.m.
8:36 a.m. I'm assuming that you wrote this story because that's normally my second or third text to you of the day about what we should do.
So running around, getting the kids ready, taking the dogs out, doing all of it. Oh, great. Chad needs 8 guests, and he needs them now.
The poll of 2,000 Americans found the average person endures 4 bad days per month, 48 days or a month and a half of bad days annually. Okay, do you think you know you're going to have a bad day by 8:36?
No.
I'm no. No. Do you think that you have 48 bad days a year?
No. 4 a month seems very high. I think
it's so subjective what is your bad versus my bad.
By the way, shake it off, Rhode Island, because that makes sense.
Well, she's got a house there, I think.
She's got a lot of houses.
Yeah, she does.
I think 1 to 2 bad days maybe a month. Maybe I'm just a very charmed individual.
Apparently.
Maybe I put up with a lot of garbage. I don't know.
You're privileged.
Yes. A lot of money will do that.
You're white man privileged.
I've got a giant bank account.
Yeah.
Several of them.
Listen. If you're a producer on this show, you're making big bucks. We know that.
Hello?
Or else you promised. Close circuit of Gons and Brad.
Remember when we promised Dave a raise when he switched shifts and he gave up another job that he's getting paid for? Jeff and Brad, do you remember that?
It was a $3 million a month job, too, I gave up. That's,
okay, then you better go back to that job really quick. I'm looking forward to our guests. A different approach to media, an approach I can't wait to hear about. That's early next hour on CCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.